Blog Talk Radio.
The rise of social media has transformed the way we connect, communicate, and keep up with the world around us. But have you ever wondered if there's a dark side lurking behind the shiny filters and perfect self-posts? Have you ever stopped to ponder upon the true impact of social media on our lives? What I mean is things like, did you ever experience negative emotions or felt addicted to social media? How did it impact your daily life and mental health? But more importantly, how has social media affected your relationships with your family, friends, or coworkers? Have you ever experienced conflicts, misunderstanding, or jealousy coming from social media interaction? Did you know that according to research, most social media platform algorithms are built to drive maximum engagement? So maybe that explains the addictive nature of social media, leading to excessive usage and obsessions. Like the time you left your phone at home and totally felt disconnected from the world? Or what about going to dinner with family and friends and seeing them put out their phones as if it was a crack addiction? What steps do you think social media platforms should take to address issues of addiction and excessive screen time? Have you personally struggled with managing your time spent on social media? And then there's a spread of misinformation, fake news, and conspiracy theories. So you don't know what to believe nowadays. But how does that impact your perception of the world? Like the crucial time during the coronavirus when Dr. Fauci said everyone must take the vaccinations or they will die, or maybe they won't even get sick if they took the vaccinations. And then you had health professionals and even holistic doctors that said, no, Fauci is lying. If you take those vaccinations, you will die. They're bad for your health. They're a new experiment. They break your immune system or weaken your immune system. So how do we verify the accuracy of all this information about your information being shared on social media? And what measures have you taken to protect your personal data? What steps do you think social media platforms should take to address the spread of fake news, misinformation, and stolen data? And in what ways do you think social media has influenced society's perception of body and beauty image? Have you noticed any negative implications on your self-esteem or body confidence? Have you ever felt pressured or betrayed like you're perfect on social media to compare yourself with others, for that matter? Like trying to keep up with the Kardashians and Instagram models, getting BBLs and other deadly cosmetic surgeries. How did it make you feel, and how did you overcome all of that? Furthermore, what are some of the dangers and risks you see on social media platforms, such as harassment? We have cyberbullying, privacy invasion, online scams, hate speech, and cancel culture. Have you or someone you know been affected by it? What about the several people that have gotten murdered because of stalking or someone knowing their location through social media? Well, welcome to the world of Conversations with ANA. I'm your co-host, Angela, and we have your host, Avon. Tonight, we'll be discussing the dark side of social media, unveiling its impact on our mental health and society. Tonight, we encourage you to share your thoughts and experiences on the impact social media has had on you and your family. Join the chat or call the show live at 515. Again, that number is 515-605-9322. To stay connected, follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Conversations with ANA. You can join the discussion and become part of our growing community. Well, Avon, how are you? How you be today? Are you there? Are you there?
Yes,
hello, Avon.
Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Yes, I hello? Could. Yes, I could. I can hear you. Yes, I can hear you clearly. Can you hear me?
I can hear you very well. And as you can see, first of all, I'm glad to hear you. You're sounding good. And I like the way you came on and came in with the information, and that's exciting within itself. And let me tell you something. From how we started to come on the air this evening, we saw the dark side. I don't know if it's social media or technology trying to take over. When I say the lies they tell, the lies they tell. No, they're not going to silence us tonight. We're going to get down tonight. It's not happening. It is not happening. I say we tried it. We come on early, get ready to go, and then this doesn't want to work right. This is happening. I said, oh, no, I done called different ways, try to get in here. We started out perfectly, then the next thing we couldn't hear. So no, we're not doing that tonight. The message is getting out. The message is getting
exactly.
out.
Exactly. We got to get the people the information. We're not going to let anything stop us. Never will we. Will we?
Never. Never. But I am so glad to be here this evening. And the topic that we have tonight is... it's a big deal, and it's a very serious thing, and I want to address it because you said a whole lot of things, and these are some thoughts that I have to respond to what you're saying, and we're talking about the dark side of social media. You know, social media in and of itself is a great tool to connect people. Who by other traditional means might not be able to connect. It allows exposure to many opportunities that geography, finances may curtail. So what is the challenge? And you had come up with a few things, and here are some things that I come up with, and then we're going to break it down and we're going to go into it. It seems to be that there's a trend of negative happenings that's going on here. Because social media, at first I was kind of afraid of it myself. I said, I don't know. These people are going crazy. They're losing their minds. They spend all day long on social media. People can't even have regular conversations right now because their heads are so busy down in their phones. And, you know, they're not having regular conversations. And then when we started the show, well, we've been doing the show for a while now, but when we were looking into other ways that we can reach out and, you know, get in contact with people to let them know that we're out here, when I had to start going into the social media and try different things, you know, going into IG and this and that, then I thought, you know, just to do the bare minimum thing, I said, oh, my goodness, because I had to learn how to use it. So I didn't know how to use it, first of all. So I'm in that learning curve trying to figure out how to use the darn thing. And then once I get an idea of how to use it, then I try to figure out how to put content on there. And then once I was doing that and then I was looking to see what other people were doing, that I saw how you can become addicted. I found myself on this thing for hours, just figuring out how to work the darn thing. And then when you're looking at other things, and then when you're trying to answer and respond, and then you find hours going by, and then you wake up to it, okay, I got to check and see what's going in. So that part I can see where it can get kind of dicey there if you have an addictive personality or you have behaviors like that. You can easily get caught up in this thing. You know what I mean? And then what, like I said earlier, it is a wonderful way to connect with the outside world, going on to places outside your own community, your own neighborhood, and it allows you to reach out and talk to other people and get ideas and see what other people are thinking. So in that in of itself is a good thing. But then also when I'm doing that, I had started to notice the trend, and I would say it was very disturbing for me. You know, like what are some of the things that I consider to be like a little on the negative side? I'm seeing a lot of fighting videos, stalking videos, people in murderous rage and killing people on there. I see deadly prints and stuff, people doing things, and they're streaming to get the likes and the views. And then I've seen when things become out of control, these pranks and stuff, like as far as TikTok is concerned. I don't know if you recall. We can go into each of these different things that we brought up. But I want to ask you, do you remember it was like at the height of COVID? It was like just after, because remember the schools and everything, the world closed down for a while. And then when they started to open up the schools again and allow the kids to come in and, you know, they came in sessions. Do you remember that time when the kids started to come back after the shutdown?
Yes, I remember.
Okay. And then you remember, did you notice that there were some things, especially on the TikTok, where they were telling the kids to go, like it was for each day or each week they had a prank or a call for everybody to do. They had the kids come together, go up to a teacher and slap teachers. They're slapping each other. They were doing things to destroy classrooms and getting involved in dangerous things, that they were getting into it with school safety and security and things like that.
Yeah, it's called TikTok challenges. Yeah, they call TikTok challenges that the kids engage in. So yeah, and then usually it happens like every week to maybe monthly, that any new challenges that happen on TikTok. So yeah, and they target young teens. So you will see, you know, the majority of these challenges being pulled off by young teens. But you mentioned a couple of things. You mentioned that how social media, you mentioned so much, how it, first of all, social media is a good thing, you know, but there are dark sides, and that's what we want our audience to know. We want our audience to know the dark side of social media, okay, and what we must do to protect ourselves and our children. So first of all, social media has transformed, you know, and it was meant to be a good thing, you know. It was technology, you know, it was an advancement in technology. It was for user-generated content, social networking, because sometimes people couldn't get out or couldn't travel far away, so that helps us be on FaceTime, and we can, you know, what's up app and see our loved ones, stay communicated with them, you know, stay in communication with them. Also, you know, you see a lot of visual, multimedia content, which you've been to, right? Content, right? You've been to visual and multimedia content that has impacted, impacted the influencers, culture, like ourselves, and being able to have a platform that people can hear our voice. Because before, if you had opinions on about any social issues, it won't go as far as your family and friends or your community, right? But now you can get on a social media platform like doing now, and you can spread your ideologies and your opinions and the way you think and information and disseminate information, right? And that goes, you can do that for good information as well as bad information or misinformation, right? So there's a couple of things going on with this social media, okay? It's definitely dead. Now, you mentioned how, I think you mentioned something about the deadly side effects of it, right? Like how people, the dangers, the risk, right, that you mentioned.
Pranks and stunts that they be pulling on the social media, yes, on these platforms. Absolutely.
You know what would bother me the most? When I read how it was an influencer podcaster, and how she had a stalker, and she complained about this stalker. He must have sent her like 100 communication, you know, 100 texts and, you know, calls, and he just kept harassing her. And to the point that finally he caught up with her and her husband, and he killed her and her husband. I think her mother was home. The mother got away, I think. But these are just one of the incidences how social media is impacting us in a negative way. This is the dark of it, you know, how you could be a victim of just minding your business. Someone could just decide, like, you know what, I want to stalk you, you know, or may get upset about you don't give them an event, you know, you don't cater to their advancement. So it could be a very dangerous place. And that really bothered me. And I'm like, wow, here it is, you know, this podcaster, she had a platform. She was connected to other platforms. And I guess he met her through just talking, just conversation. And he was part of the platform that she was part of. And somehow or another, he just started stalking her. You know, maybe he thought that they were friends, or I don't know what this is, but I don't know the entirety of the case. But it ended up in death of her and her husband. Okay. Some of the negative, that's some of the dark sides of social media. So once again, I just want to tell our listeners, the ones that came on, that tonight we're discussing the dark side of social media, unveiling and impacting, how it's unveiling its impact on our mental health and society. So, Avon, you can continue.
Exactly. Well, you know, because that was one of the many things, is start out with stalking. Because first of all, this is what we're saying, the good part of the social media. You like people that you may have never seen before in life or whatever, but you get a chance to see them. They get a chance to share their philosophies and thoughts. But guess what? Because of this social media, it spreads out so wide. So other people get to see you, and then other people start to obsess about you. You may not know them personally, what's going on, but then you have this, and then you have this sense of accessibility. And people feel that they know you personally, and they want to reach out, and they feel that they have relationships going on with you. And you said it, like spurn lovers and or those who can't let go. So then they start the stalking. And then, you know, in let's say broken relationships, then it is used to expose somebody. Oh, well, since you are not going to be with me, I'll tell you what, I'm going to expose your dark secrets, or I'm going to start saying things about you, and then I'm going to blow you up out there to tear you down. So they use it as exposing each other. Then there have been times that it leads to murderous rages. How many times are we hearing about people coming on air? They come up to you and they have arguments. They catch their lover cheating or whatever. So then they go crazy. They're going to drag people out of cars, going to beat them down, whatever, try to kill them, chasing them down. It's this anger. Or you got people that see you, and then if you're one that like to, stream, live, what have you, then you got people rolling up on you, and then they're killing you on live air. And we're hearing a lot of that.
Yeah.
It's not just one or two. This is a trend. This is happening more and more. You have deadly pranks going on here. There was these two Czech girls. They were in Czechoslovakia, and then they were driving. These are two teenage girls. They're young girls. And it's a beautiful day. The sun is out, so they're driving or whatever, and they're having fun. They're singing. They're streaming. Now, one is streaming, and they're singing. They're laughing. They're joking. They're drinking. And then they're driving at this fast speed, and they're driving at top speed, and then they're laughing, everything is fun, whatever. And then, you know, one of the girls that was photographing it said, okay, slow down, you're going too fast. But they're still, the other girl is thinking it's fun, and she's going, what have you. Then all of a sudden, when you're going at that speed like that in these fast turns, whatever, they lost control of the car. But all you hear, you see the camera jerk forward. You hear the girl scream first. She screams, oh, no, oh, stop, be careful. And next thing you see the camera jerk forward, and then you hear this crash. Then you don't hear anything. And then you see the ambulance coming, the police are coming, and the camera is still filming, and they don't realize that. So you see them going, you don't see the girls per se, but you see the police and their first arrivals. They come in there and tending to the girls and what's going on, and, you know, they're taking the girls out. And then the camera is still rolling and catching all of this. And then the father of one of the girls came to the car, And then as he was looking through the car, whatever, he saw the car, I mean, saw the phone, and it was still taping. And then he turned off the phone then. But then as, you know, he gave it in to the police, so in their investigation, and then they got to see, live that horrible thing, to see what happened and how this accident transpired. So one of the girls ended up dying. She got killed, and then the other one lived. So can you imagine? So you're in the car. You've gone through this horrible thing. You lost your friend, but you live. So can you imagine the guilt that comes behind that, the traumatization that follows that?
Yeah. Wow, I can't even imagine. I can't even imagine. And it's a trend like that. It's not a big trend, but it's kind of picking up. And hopefully, but a lot of people are filming killing people online, harassing them online, and, you know, just doing some horrible things, okay? And they have videos. It's like they create in their own horror movies. Unbelievable. So right now we have Paula, 7491. And tonight's topic is the dark side of social media, unraveling its impact on our mental health and society. Have you, from the callers or those who call in, and our listeners, we want to know, have you ever experienced any drama or what type of impact that social media had on you or your family? So once again, caller, please state your name and your city and state you're calling from.
This is Brother Abdul.
Hello?
Wait a minute.
Hello, Abdul.
Yeah.
Hi, Abdul.
Yeah.
We're good.
I don't use social media. I never have because it's a government program. That's why I stayed away from it. All of them. Facebook, MySpace, and all that other crap, that's the government stuff. They have people like Zuckerberg set them up, and then they fool everybody to get on there and get all the information from you. That's all it is. It's not real. I mean, it's not real for what you think it is. They use that to collect information in case they ever got to drum up fake charges against people. That's what it's used for. It's not really
so
for...
So let me ask you this.
Yes.
So you're saying that when Zuckerberg started Facebook, he purposely started it as a government entity?
Yeah.
Or for something to the government to
discuss? They pay them. Yeah, they pay people like Zuckerberg, he made billions of dollars off of this. He starts it for them. Wait a minute, let me cut this off. Yeah, and they pay people like that to do that for them. You know, and
speaking to your microphone because you're coming in and out. Speaking to your microphone.
Yeah,
you gotta
speak in your microphone. Yeah, I don't know if you got another device playing while you're listening to us, but you might have to turn something off or turn it down. So.
Okay.
Interrupting.
Wait a minute. I'm using phone, so hold on. How about now?
Yeah.
You sound far away. Speak into the microphone. Speak into your microphone, and let's see.
Okay. Can you hear me now? That
we can hear you. Keep talking. Better. That sounds better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All the social media is government stuff. You know, it's not for people having communication. It's just for them to keep track of you. That's all. They track you through all that stuff.
But,
everything you find
But what proof do you have? Because this is what we're talking about. Like, we're talking about, because there's a lot of fake. Am I saying it? Hold on. You are not saying that you are part of the fake news dissemination,
right.
But you know we have issues with fake news, misinformation, and people being misguided and misinformed on what's going on, and also a bunch of conspiracy theories.
Okay.
But what I know, my research,
it said
that.
Go ahead.
Well, hold on. Let me just finish.
in 2000, I think it was 2004, right? Mark Zuckerberg went to Harvard, and it wasn't like he, this is what was said, allegedly. He started Facebook at Google, but it wasn't meant to be as big as it was. Now, I know, and as time went on, he had to address Congress and everything like that, and they were saying that, you know, they was trying to get him to give up people's information, and he had to fight that. And so after a while, because if we know anything about business here in the United States, if your business becomes too big, then the government do step in and try to take, okay,
control,
to control you. Okay, so we do know that. Even if they teach you that in so many words in business. So, but in the beginning, I don't have proof, but I don't think that he started it out. He started Facebook out as a platform for the government.
Well, see, he did.
And I would
start
like
it
to
out.
Documents. I would like to see the documents, or I would like to hear from others, you know, professionals and others that was around, or know social media researchers and people that do this every day. And, you know, I would like to hear more about that, or just, you know, someplace I can go to, because that's interesting. I don't think he started out.
No, he didn't start it out like that. But what it is, see, once you get too far above in finances, that's when the government comes after you to control what you're doing. Just like Bill Gates.
Right. You won't monopolize it. Right. So you won't monopolize. Or you won't have more power than the government. So, yeah, those are
absolutely
the government do have. Yeah. And, right. Exactly. Okay.
Yeah. So they came after Zuckerberg. Well, Zuckerberg got them billions of dollars. See, once you become a billionaire, they force you to go along with anything they want you to do. You have no choice, or they'll shut you down. You know, and I'm trying to, the guy that owned Virgin Airlines, Brandon Fraser. If you check him out, he wasn't a part of that Illuminati crap. But once he became a billionaire, he had no choice. They leave you no choice. Bill Gates, they was going to break Microsoft up into 100 different companies if Bill Gates didn't quit, come along with them, and let Microsoft be ran by somebody else. And he had to do it. You know, and Zuckerberg started out to make money from this. He made the money, but then he got too big, you know, and then that's when they came after him to, hey, the government wants to monitor this stuff. He fought it at first. He went to Congress to fight it, but then he had to give in. He had no choice. You know, see, the government will do anything. They could destroy you completely. Bring up false charges, say you had sex with kids, say you're a pedophile. See, they could ruin your whole life if you don't go along with them. And they only do
it.
Yeah,
but others could too, right?
Yeah, but the government can do it on a larger scale. Yeah, but the government has the media. See, that's the thing. They can spread it all over the world through the media that you've done this. So you have no comeback. You know, and they can convince the public of anything. Just like that crazy stuff that happened in New York. They convinced the idiots that planes went into buildings, went through glass and steel, and blew up and brought the building down. That's the stupidest thing. I got in trouble at work for that because I was showing people. I slowed it down. It was a CGA, computer-generated image. It wasn't even a real plane. And they jumped all over my case for that. Because I was showing, I said, look how fake this is. Yeah, so, you know, the government could do anything. And the people believe anything the government tells them. You know, they started that war
Avon,
with us.
I have a question for you and Abdul.
Me?
Do you think that social media has impacted our democracy? Because I heard people say that. Oh, social media has messed up our democracy and had a big, huge impact on it. And what would you say on that?
I'll let her answer that first.
Okay. What I would say is, of course, it has an impact. It has an impact more so on the people more so than the government. And there's a couple of things that's going on here, like where we spoke about Mark Zuckerberg and what have you. Let's say he may not have been a part of it in the beginning, but it was. But now I think it's more than just monitoring him, the government. It's okay, now let's utilize this technology to spy and track our people and see what's going on. So I think it has gone to that. So all of the platforms that we got now, TikTok, all of these free apps that you can join in and use, and that's the thing. Free ain't free. And that's what we got to remember as well. So I think, look at them speaking. Do you want this? And we can talk to each other. But, yeah, what you're doing is also voluntarily handing over your information out there and putting it out there in these systems and computer banks. So it's like, yeah, I think that's even more so the picture, more than just monitoring him and what he's able to do. They're utilizing it against us. And then the second part of the question you have asked, is it affecting the government? I think it's affecting us more so because, like, the false information is put out there. We're being fed certain things so that, that you would think a certain way about the government. But I don't think it's utilized to you to impact the government. I think it's used to impact you and change your thoughts about things, and it's a brainwashing and instilling certain things in you. That's why we're talking about the government, and then the same things that we'll talk about later is how the dark side and how does it affect, the mental health and society. So that we go into that, but that's my first thought on the initial question that you're answering. Abdul, go ahead. Take it away.
Yeah. Hey. No, I don't think social media has any effect on democracy at all, none. I mean, social media is basically people-oriented. I mean, the government controls it, but it has no effect on democracy at all because you got to remember, the public does not control democracy. The government does. The public doesn't control anything. They can't even control their own lives. They have to be dictated to by the government, the do's and the don'ts. You got to go along with what they say. A perfect instance, when they said you had to take the needle to keep your job. How many people out there did that? Millions did that. And some of them fought it and got away with it. But a good majority of people had to go along with the government. And the government only did that to certain classes of people, too. They didn't bother the military. They started, and the military refused. They was going to get out, and then the government said, okay, we will leave you guys alone. See, you have no say-so in this country. You think you vote for a president? You know, I ain't going to get into me, but that's fake. You don't pick nobody to run. So how are you voting for somebody in your favor when you didn't pick the person? You know, people never think about
it. And you know something,
like
too, Jason? Right. And there's a lot of things to think about. And one thing I want to tell you about what you just to add on to what you're saying. One thing they was looking into was Mark Zuckerberg. And I remember this is a big thing. And I'm sure you remember. Y'all remember.
Yeah.
Remember that political consulting firm? It was a political consulting firm that supposedly had improperly used millions of people information to what?
Right.
Target political advertisement.
So
that, and that's when Mark Zuckerberg, he had to go up to the Senate or, whatever.
Congress.
And they was questioning him. Congress, right. They was questioning him. About the, it was like a scandal, okay? And the outrage, people who was informed, and it led to other government inquiries. But we know how the government is. They probably using that, because it was a political consulting firm, right? I remember before Congress, and face questions for, like, how, you know, the privacy practices that he was holding in. Do he give out people data information? How do he handle the data, user protection, and all of that, you know? And then other concerns came up. The antitrust laws came up. And so they questioned that and regarding the dominance of Facebook. So one of the things that we all agree upon is that, yeah, Facebook might have started as this humble beginning. As you came and got more dominant in you know, field of social media and became almost, you know, against competition, like they are dominating, the government, that starts coming in, you know, and that's when more laws is impacted on these corporations, supposedly. But as we listen, to these different debates and these different laws that, and from law enforcers, it sounds like they're using this information for themselves. Like they're sending in people maybe to act like as consultants and then stealing the information from these corporations and using it for their own political advancement, or using it, like you were saying, Avon, to advance the thought process, or to influence the process of the people. So there's a couple of things that's going on here.
There's a lot of things that's going on here. And that's, like they say, the magician and the sleight of hand. While you're busy looking at the left hand, you don't see what the right hand is doing. And that's what it is. If it makes it look like, oh, my goodness, how benevolent this government of ours is. We're allowed to have all these free things. We're free, and we got this over the next one or whatever. When if you're not paying attention, you don't have control over nothing, and not even your own mind. And this is what we have to be careful of, you know, because when you don't think for yourself, it's easy for somebody to feed you their agenda. And they can poison you easily and you're readily, because we have gotten away from that. We have become so docile, and our minds have been clouded and reconditioned that we don't even think. We don't even critically think anymore. It's just, oh, that's what they say, that's what it is. You remember that commercial back in the day where it said, well, if it's on the internet, it must be true, right? You remember that commercial?
That was a long time ago, yeah.
But they said, oh, it must be true. He said, he's French. and his girlfriend is French. And then he talked about, some foolishness. Mm. But that's supposed to mean that he's French because he said that. But even though that was silly, that commercial, but that's how it is. People have come to learn that if this on the internet is true, if my doctor says this, then this is so. If it is a face that is of a certain color, then it must be true.
Yeah.
It's dangerous how we don't think and how we allow this thing to happen to us. So, yes, this can be very dangerous. Getting back to what we're talking about, social media is a wonderful tool within itself.
Let me ask you this. Why do you think social media is so great? I mean, give me an example. What do you think is great about it?
What I think is great about it? I have said earlier. It gives you a chance to, like with some people, because of their economics, their finances, whatever, they cannot travel the world and see certain things, whatever. But through social media and the internet, you can visit other parts of the world. You can talk to people from other parts of the world and have the next thing to being there, that you can have this conversation. You can see certain things. And then you have your access to different people. It's not just one. There are some people that is on the social media that are good people, and they're not trying to tear you down or whatever. They do have good information. You just have to sort through it and discern and try these theories out and see what people are talking about. This is where your critical thinking has to come in. So I think it's a good thing where you can see different things, you can be exposed to different things. It's like being in the library, but it's electronically, you know, or you can see the visuals, and you got people that learn visually, you know what I'm saying, so that you can see different things. So that's why I say that it's good. For me, I can look at it and see that good, and I can discern certain things, and I'm aware of what's going on, that I understand that there is a dark side to it as well. As to anything in life, you have a positive side, a high vibrational side to a situation, and you got that low vibe and stuff that's dangerous and dirty, and you know it can hurt you, it can kill you. So there's, if anything, you have both. You have both sides of it. You have that duality that's going on there. We're coming here to balance that stuff out. You know, there is good and bad. You cannot have one without the other. But you're here to learn how to balance these things out within you so that you can lead a prosperous, productive, healthy life. That those are my thoughts on it. So that's, those are some of my thoughts on it.
But social media is one of the largest services that's used by pedophiles. That's why they're able to set up fake identities all over the place and talk to these young girls, and the young girls go to meet them and find out it's some old man, you know, is trying to rape them and have sex with them and stuff like that, and the cops be locking them up because they set up things like that all the time. If social media, see, it's not really, like, beneficial to the public, because if you got to get on the Internet to talk to other people you don't even know, you could be talking to anybody, and then you'd be giving them personal information about you, your location, or what you're doing with your work and stuff like that, and then they could steal your identity. All they need is a little bit of information about you, and then from that they could steal you, all your identity. You know, so that,
and that's,
I don't,
definitely the dark side. That's definitely the dark side of social media. That's definitely,
I don't see no positive side. Yeah, anything
But think about it. Even throughout, even if you didn't have the social media, the same thing can happen through snail mail. If we didn't have all that stuff, people have been doing that for years too, taking other people's mail, getting into it, going through people's garbage, piecing things together, and gathering information. So with that's what I say, with everything, there's good and bad. You know, you got some people that just, they're just born to be wicked. Twisted. They just have it that way.
Just like they have the dark web. That's where the dark web.
Drugs, anything you want to buy.
Drugs, guns,
anything.
You can even
poison,
buy people,
anything.
Slavery, everything.
Yeah.
You name it, it's web.
It's out there.
So, Avon, I agree with Avon. Haven't it always been like secret parties of different things and all kinds of going on that the regular public, the general public, didn't aware of? So
yeah,
it
but
is
see,
a flip
now
side
it's easily accessible.
Dark and light side of everything.
Yeah, right. But it's easily accessible from the Internet because the Internet has made everything accessible. I mean, think, you can buy stuff from all over the world, any country you want to go into and buy stuff. I buy stuff from China all the time, electronics, you know, and some stuff I can't have shipped directly to me, so I have it shipped somewhere else to a friend of mine in another country, and then he shipped it to me. You know, and that's legal.
Right.
So that's the whole thing. You can't legally ship it here, but you can ship it somewhere else, and that country has a free trade with the United States, so they can ship it to you. And that's all you got to do.
Right.
You just go around them. You know what I mean? See,
right.
They make laws.
Right.
Like,
so let me ask y'all something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Go ahead.
Now, one thing I wanted to say,
ghost guns.
I just want to give you an example. Why won't the government that has the power outlaw ghost guns? They won't do it because, number one, is they want the public to get these weapons just like they're getting them. Get the ghost guns and build them yourself and kill everybody so we can institute some law down the road. They're going to do something down the road. This is what just all these shootings and killings are about. They're going to institute something at some point where things get so bad, the government say, okay, now, we got to step in order to prevent this. They won't outlaw ghost guns. So that tells you right there, something is wrong. If the government has the power to say, hey, you can't do this no more, you can't sell this stuff no more, but they're allowing it. So the government is not for the people. It's all
just
by
like
themselves.
They're allowing, just right, but also to participate as well, because the government can do it, but we can, you know, there's been plenty of nations that coop the government, right?
Yeah, but
we can overturn it.
No, you can't.
The people really have the power.
No, they don't.
It's not impossible. The people really have the power.
Let me ask you a question.
Then they are the government.
The military has weapon systems that can stop you cold. They bought it when they had those riots in Detroit. They bought the trucks out. They got these sound trucks that could bring you down to your knees, okay? They didn't have to use them because the people seen them, and some of them knew what they were, so they backed off. No, nobody has the power to overthrow this government in this country. That's impossible. And I say impossible, that's impossible. They got the military.
Okay,
they
have the government. You have power to influence how the government, what the government is doing.
No, you don't.
I refuse to believe
that. Hold.
You do have
the
power.
What power do the public have? Tell me how they can do it. They can't. You're going to do it through the court system? The government controls the court system. You're going to do it through some legal matter? The government controls that too. You got to remember, they control the law, and they say what law is. So you as a person can't do nothing. Even collectively, you can't do anything. You can't fight this government. This government can crush you because they could come after you as a group, and they could come after you individually. Okay? They can make you.
We
gotta
have a show on that
down
one day. We have to have a show on that. We have to have a show.
Okay.
We have to have a show on that. But moving on, I would like to discuss our mental health social media has on it. Okay. And one of my main concerns is, go ahead. Mm-hmm.
No, I was going to say, you talk about mental health? Look at these shows on TV. What do they call them? Reality shows. That was created to blindside the public. You know, video games was created to blindside the children, to corrupt them at a very young age so they become the violent teenagers and the violent adults. That's all video games is about. I worked on a project back in the 80s called Caltech. I really believed in my heart, I thought it was because at that time only adults played video games. So I thought it was a way of enticing them to get more involved in those video games, you know, brainwash them. And I had no idea that was really for the future. That was for to corrupt the kids, to entice the kids and brainwash them. I had no idea that's what was going on. See, the government can fool anybody. They fool me, and they can fool anybody else, you know. And that was supposed to be
a
non-government program.
So you're trying to say they use a smoke screen. Trying to say they use it as a smoke screen to distract us.
Yes.
I could believe that.
Yeah, video games,
I can
let me tell
that.
You something. I don't see how parents allow their kids to play any of them because there's hidden messages that implants themselves in children's minds that you don't see, subliminal messages and stuff. They use that, and they use it all the time. That's why these kids today, think about this, shootings, killings, stabbings every day, and it's young kids doing it. You got older people doing it, young kids, people that got psychological problems and all this kind of stuff. Just like in New York, the guy riding around on a scooter shooting people. I mean, you know, you ain't never heard this kind of crazy stuff before. But it's happening every day now.
Yeah. And you know what? In late May, the U.S. Surgeon General, I think his name is Devik Murphy, said that social media has profound risk for adolescents and teens. So he was just breaking it down, and he said basically I'm summing it up. He said basically regular social media could dangerously alter kids' brain development. Like,
it could
affect their brain development because children, they grow up, they develop different from us. Okay? They're not little folks. Like, people, oh, they little adults. No, their brain function is different. And they could be very vulnerable for the development that they go through. Social media could negatively, which we see in a negative way, affect children. It has distracted them. It disrupts their sleep patterns, schoolwork, because I know I have experienced that with my own child, the schoolwork. Mm-hmm. And these things, and it can stop them from engaging in real-life situations and social situations. Like, kids just walking around like zombies.
Zombies, okay? Right.
So,
Like
zombies. So one of the guy, Mitch, right, he's from he's a clinical psychologist from American Psychology Association, and he said that kids shouldn't even be interacting with social media until they're 16. And there's a reason why he said that, because he believes children under 13 or under 15, they don't have the mental capacity to differentiate what's good for them and what's not, what's real and what's not. And like you were saying, kids don't know how to turn off the real world from the fake, you know, from the fake world. I know recently, I don't know if y'all heard, how this 10-year-old killed his mother because she took away his game.
Oh, mm-hmm.
After he killed her, the family took him in. Don't you know? First of all, after he killed her, that same day he ordered some control or whatever, because I think she said that he couldn't get the control or whatever, she wasn't going to order it.
Yeah.
Well, he ordered it after he killed her.
He ordered with her credit card.
With the credit card, and had it sent to his aunt's house or something. The mother, the deceased mother, sister. Okay, this is how it's affecting these children. It's almost making them demonic.
Yeah.
Okay? And also, but that's done by design. Now, one of the things you did talk about, Abdul, is how the government is affecting it and the role that the government is playing. Don't y'all know that it's been recorded and they did a study that said that the algorithms are built to maximize engagement so you could become addicted to these social media platforms. Like, have you ever noticed that you go to one video and then another video pop up and you're like, oh, my God, I got to see that video. And then you see another video. Well, those are the algorithms that's designed to help keep you engaged and help keep you distracted. That's why everyone's walking around like zombies. You see everyone's looking down on their phones. So we do have a major impact on our mental health. Go ahead, Avon.
Yeah, but how about this, okay? Let's think about it this way. Where did you hear this before?
Yes.
Okay, that the enemy of vampires, there are other examples that they cannot harm you. They're only allowed it if you allow
certain things.
You have to allow them. You have to have permission.
Yeah.
Now, the thing is, you cannot. Yeah. So they can suggest all they want. The enemy. This is the spirituality. However, people want to connect to that through religion or whatever. But the thing is, through suggestion and through the mind. So that's what this whole thing is about. You cannot do anything unless you have permission and you're allowed to do this. So then who are we talking about? We're talking about us, adults, and adults that are in charge of the children. And remember, this thing is set up in order to control, absolutely. But the thing is, you cannot do things unless you are allowed to do it. So, yes, we got a government to have all of these things, these weapons, and all this other stuff, but it's all through suggestion and how they have you controlled in every aspect of our life, the five pillars of our life, But they got you through your food, through your finances, through your health, through your job. What's the other thing? I can't think of it off the top of my head. So if you are in control of all those things, yes, you're going to cause an effect. If you're giving people mind-bending drugs, the food that they eat is tampered with, whatever, so your mind is not going to be correct. You give poor health, whatever, they can slip things into you that way, or you don't get the proper health so that you are not focused and you cannot heal yourself up. You're giving it's all these things, through improper food. You're working all the time, so you're not getting the proper rest so that you can rebuild your mind or whatever. You're stretched thin so that your mind is shattered. You're in working in fear and in stress all the time. You're kept in fear and in anger. These things are going to cause something. It will affect your physical, and it's going to affect your mental. Absolutely. So the thing is, and kids, look, we are grown kids. So if, yes, kids are being affected because they're vulnerable to certain things that develop. But kids are not the only ones walking around here like zombies. You got grown adults. Because these things, subliminals, and these are hypnotic things that's going on here. These are sciences and technologies that's used to hypnotize you and put you to sleep and have you so. And then certain things are suggested to you subliminally. The things that you watch, whatever, frequencies. You got a whole lot that's going on here. So it's it will make you see it as such that you have no control. Oh, this omnipotent government, there's no stopping it, whatever it is. No, but there's something else that's going on. And if you look at the principles and the so-called Constitution, whatever, one of the main things, the freedom of religion to pursue and practice the religion that you believe in. So there's something to it. So there's more to it. So I don't believe that that we have no say and we cannot control or do something about what's happening here. It would seem so, but there's more things. And what I'm
let me ask you this then. If you think you have a way of changing things, give me an example. How can it be done?
How it can be done? Well, I am of the belief in spirituality. I know that I am a part of a creative force that controls and makes everything that is, was, and ever more to be. I know that I'm a part of that. And I have learned through experience in life and watching and observing that by tapping into that source, getting in alignment with that source, and that force, that things happen and change. So, and you know, those who believe in the Bible, they're talking about dominion, and they're giving examples. These are guidelines. We get guidebooks and get guidelines to how to do things. We're not out here by ourselves. We're here to learn some things and figure some things out, and we know that there are entities out here that come across as the big bad boogeyman, but not so much. So I believe in some other things as well. But as far as this government, and also I've learned that if that's what you believe it is, then that's what it is. I don't believe that. I choose not to believe that. So I want to be in control of my faculties, my thoughts and beliefs, and I know what my connection is. So I know how to utilize it. So that's why you hear me on this line all the time talk about that self-worth and knowing who you are and knowing what you're capable of doing, not allowing somebody to brainwash me and tell me what it is that I can and cannot do, or I am helpless out here and I have no control over what happens to me. So
let me ask you this.
Sure.
The money you make, doesn't that dictate how you live?
Not if I choose for it not to. I'm asking you a question. In this dimension, the third world dimension, they use money to for people. They use it to show their status, where they are, and they use it for power, whatever. But I don't get caught up in that. because I know that there's more. And then they say this as a joke, but we don't understand what it is. But it's that there's levels to this fish out here. On a plane in the beginner stage, beginner level, yeah, this is what it is. But I also believe that what we see here on Earth, health schools and teach us what goes on beyond what's here in the fifth dimension and dimensions beyond. And then when you, what you don't understand, it's like an algebraic equation. You have different variables, and they give you different parts of the equation to solve it. So you may not have all these variables there, but you got enough there to work on to prove the rest of what's missing so that you can find out what's missing. So that's how I believe, and that's how I operate.
But those that, I'm just using the Bible as an example. People that read the Bible, this is what it says. It says the God of the humans, he created the evil in the world. So what kind of God is that that creates evil for you to deal with every day? I mean, you know, that's exactly what it says. God creates the evil, not mankind. God did it. This God.
You're thinking of it in a different meaning, that he know everything. He's a knower of everything. Just like we have good and evil, we know good and evil within it of us.
But then
you also have choices. But he also gives you the Spirit of God also gives you choices. So even though he does his choices, because there's a polarity of everything, there's a duality of everything. Like there's a dark side of social media, which we're talking about, but then there's a positive side of social media. So there's a duality, there's a good and bad within everything. You take, for instance, water, right? You could drink it, and it becomes pleasurable. You can put stuff in it, it tastes good, but then you can drown in water. You can suffocate yourself in water, right? Water becomes
right,
exactly. The same thing with fire. Fire is good if you need it to cook,
to
right?
Cook
you
with.
Need the gas,
right.
The fire. You with the cook with, right? But is that sure you wouldn't want to get burned up in it in a fire,
right?
So everything has a duality. That is the universal laws. So God is following the laws of the universe as well. He's not going to depart from that because he made that. Okay? So number two is, Avon, to answer, and then I'm going to let you go ahead on. I'm going to let you continue your thoughts. Avon, you mentioned that how people, you know, we have to, it's us that basically have control of ourselves. But, you know, one thing that Abdul said that I agree with, most people are followers. Let's get down to it.
Yes,
most people
absolutely.
Are followers. And that's why the government is able to do the things they are able to do. Because most people are lazy. They don't want to do the work like you always talk about, Avon. And they're willing just to be there and just let someone else rule their life, tell them what to do.
Yeah.
And just pick up a paycheck and going about their business. That's the truth. So even though
we may
have some impact on ourselves, but most people are followers.
But most people are operating out of fear as well. And nobody wants to be responsible for their own life. So, look, I don't want to be responsible. You got some people out here, look. I don't know what might happen, so they'll ride the fence the rest of their life. They won't make a choice or whatever. They'd rather put that in somebody else's hand. But then when somebody mucks it up for them, then they're all upset. The thing is, I'd rather take the chance and mess it up myself than put it in somebody else's hand, then I can't be
right. Yeah.
See,
you should always be your own leader. You should always be your own leader. Never follow anybody or any faith or religion or any teachings of other people. If it's not your thing, you shouldn't follow it. If you didn't develop it, you shouldn't follow it. You know?
Hold on.
That's why Jim Jones created his own thing.
Hold on, Abdul. I just want to just reiterate the show tonight is The Dark Side of Social Media, Unveiling Its Impact on Our Mental Health in Society. We have another caller with an unknown number. You are You can speak. Hello, caller. Please state your name and the city and state you're calling from.
Yeah, this is Naj. I'm in Atlanta. What's going on?
Oh,
hi,
nice.
Hi, Naj from Atlanta.
Hey. Nah, I'm sitting
here. Are you
Naj,
the
man.
Rapper, Naj?
Nah, it ain't Jay. Nah.
He Nod? Is this the Nod? I was gonna say.
I would have sounded like twice as cool if I was that. You know, he got that slow. You know what I'm saying?
No,
delivery, like yo.
No, but you did have that flow, Nod. You did have that.
Yeah.
Nod. So you did have that flow, Nod.
Yeah, he said that because he's a man. You know what I mean?
You tell my nieces and nephews that, boy, they'll fall out laughing, man. But no, I think both of y'all are right on this. Like I think it's two sides of it. Like y'all saying, there's duality to it. But ultimately, like social media, the biggest problem with all of this is the thing that people are not supposed to say. These are capitalism problems. Once you make a profit more important than anything else, then everything has to be profit-driven and written in those ways. So social media, like you said,
right.
The kids have to get a dopamine injection from being on the app. And then the attention-driven app has to send you to more radical things to keep you on it. So it's not that it's evil. It's that it has to make a profit or that app won't exist anymore. That company won't exist anymore. Now, does Zuckerberg let his kids play on a smartphone?
Nope.
The answer is no.
That's right.
Now, that should tell you a lot, the fact that he won't let his kids on it, but he wants your kids on it. And
right.
And then as far as, like, government,
right.
Yeah, government, of course, is always overreaching. Government is always powerful. But mass movements have always scared the hell out of government and moved government. Before I was born, Vietnam War, we had a draft in this country. You had an anti-war movement spring up, and all of a sudden they said, okay, we got to get rid of that draft. We can't do this because these people will revolt. So they had to get rid of that. Over social media during this era, Ferguson, those young teens seen what was happening to kids,
uh-huh.
And they seen the protest. Next thing you know, they're driving to Ferguson. They're getting part of a movement that changes something. The George Floyd situation, they saw it on social media, then they reacted. They created a mass movement, and what happened? Government had to back down. They had to concede a little bit.
Uh-huh.
So you can move government. And, you know, like y'all said, social media ain't inherently evil. Well, I hear you, brother, saying it's hard. Yeah, that's why the civil rights movement and everything else is so kind of ingrained in everybody's mind, because those were successful movements. Then there was a lot of movements where it wasn't successful and people ended up disappearing or, you know, being blackballed for the rest of their lives. That's how you get the labor movement, so you get the women's movement. Like, all of this stuff happens. So, you know, you can beat government, especially if you got mass population and people willing to put their bodies on the line and dedicate themselves to an issue. So it can happen. But can we stop the government from dropping bombs on other places? Really difficult. We can, but it's really difficult to get them to stop doing things. So, I don't know, man. This has been an interesting show. Been listening to y'all for like 20 minutes. Y'all killing it today, because this is a serious topic, a whole lot of, you know, landmines in this topic. Like, it's really hard to address, because social media could be so much better than what it is. But as of right now, it's ultimately, I would say, in the negative, just because of, like I said, there's a profit motive in it. And that profit motive distorts things. And it ain't because people are evil. Hell, some people going to work just like me and you, and y'all going to work. You know what I'm saying? Ain't like they going in there saying, I want to make children bad. Nah, they're just going to work. So it's tough. But I don't know. Thanks for letting me on. I just wanted to say a little piece.
Thank you.
We're going to keep you.
Yes, thanks a lot, bro.
Yes, we're going to keep you on. No problem. Thank you. So let me ask.
Right.
I want to ask y'all, do y'all think the government should be responsible for how they monitor and what they allow on social media?
No. The government don't even want to do that. They, see, it's to their benefit to let the public do and say whatever it is they want to come across with. Because this way they can single out individuals or individual groups of people that think a certain way that the government now is going to deal with them directly. You know what I mean? Now, it's a smart move for them to do it the way they're doing it. You know, they monitor this stuff all the time. So when people get together and have issues that they want to force down the government's throat, that ain't going to happen. You know, the government to go after those people individually or as a group. You know, there's no control.
But like Nas said, but Nas made a point.
Yeah, but
with Ferguson, it caused a mass movement.
Yeah, but you know, you
got to
remember
what happened recently with what's his name, that basketball player? How people took that, right? And that could have caused the shakeup. So there's different movements that's been called shakeup, and they have to play on how to defuse it. So
yeah,
it
but
could
you know,
be, it could work against the government.
No, I tell you why. You got to remember this. When the government allows, you check that word out, allows people to do that, they put in the people's mind that, hey, see, you marched, you protested, it was effective. It's a mind game. It ain't really changed anything.
Right there. Exactly. But that's, you see, you heard what you just said. It's a mind game. And that's what I said earlier.
Yeah.
It's suggestive. You can only suggest. It's up to us.
Yes,
and then the answer
it.
What Angela's question was, no. Why am I going to give somebody the power and the right to take over and make decisions for me like that?
That's right.
No,
yeah.
I'm not going to let the government do that. So they're not doing, they haven't been doing such a good job. This is what we're talking about right now. So why am I going to voluntarily give it up? See, that's what it is. It's suggestion. It only if you allow it. You cannot. The thing is, it's a small amount of people that's governing a whole bunch of people. It's the little that's over the masses. If the masses come together and move as one, that would change what's going on in the government. We're acting like they're omnipotent and they have nothing to say. And if we go by, if your word is your wand, and if everything was created, if that's what you believe, if you believe in the Bible, in Genesis, it started by a word. So the thing is, you're going to give them your word, so you shut it down. No, I don't give you permission. No, it's, you have to stand up and tell them what it is to do. Because that's how it was. That's what the Constitution and all that other stuff was about, for them to work for us. How did it turn around and now we're working for them? Something's wrong with that. There's something wrong with that. We got to gain control. And guess what? When it comes to power, you know about that. Ain't nobody going to give that up easily. You got to take that. You don't ask for permission. Please, Mr. Government, would you do this for me and you know, do these things for me? Your oppressor is not going to take your foot off your neck. That ain't happening. So it's something that we need to be doing. It's not up to them. And that's the thing. We gave up. We just gave up. Rolled over and
the reason why I keep mentioning the government, because they do get paid to protect the people, and we should start holding them accountable. And y'all don't want to know what should happen to them by not applying it and being for the people, okay? So I know it's not happening, but we should at least expect that. Where they do that?
Yeah,
like
we put them
in position to monitor the people. And see, this is another thing. The reason why the United States is going the way it's going, because number one, they have wicked people. Scriptures talk about that. It's supposed to be God-fearing people, people who have morals, principles, values that's supposed to be in place so things like this won't even happen. Because the spirit will be on the people. They will lead with morals, principles, and values. But when you have a bunch of people that's being elected, or so we think that's being elected, or we see that's in charge, that has their own, things that's happened. Okay, and that's why I agree with what Nan said. It has to be a mass movement of the people. But here's the thing. Most people, like I said earlier, are followers. Okay,
yeah.
They're followers. And this is why social media is rewiring our brains, changing the thoughts of the people, and destroying our creativity and creativity and destroying the way we think and destroying our morals, principles, and values. And scripture talks about
destroying the youth. Destroying the youth in this country.
Prophesied this. Excuse me?
I said they're destroying the youth of this country because the kids are all screwed up, all of them. You know what I mean? They don't know how to be children anymore. A lot of this responsibility falls back on the parents.
Because they're adults.
Yeah, I was going to say adults. Buying them cell phones, having them doing adult things. They have no business on social media. They have no business on cell phones either. You know what I mean? And they have no business playing these mind-controlling video games. You know what I mean? I think that is the craziest
thing. And what about when you send your kids to school? Yeah, but you think that's something.
God.
What about in your household? When you send your kids to school, can you imagine what goes on in school?
I know. Now they teach your kids to be homosexual.
Right. So you got to send your kids to school. So social media is attacking them there on every level.
Yes.
Okay. With all of this nonsense that's going on, sexuality and, you know, changing their sex, and their mind is innated with that, okay? So
changing their sex
and
the parents have no control over that. The government says that a kid can change his sex all they want. You got nothing to say about it. Crazy.
No. Avon, you saying you better get some. First of all, if you go to your kid, if your kid, I think it's like 13 and up, go to your sister. Right, and you with a child, the doctor would tell you they could come in, and like the kids have to give you permission to go inside to find out what's going on with their health. So that means a kid can get birth control, have an abortion, get
their
sex
without their parents'
knowledge, without your consent,
right?
Children nowadays. Wait, can I just finish?
Yeah,
children nowadays have more rights than back in the day. And I understand because I hear older people talk about, now it's a different time. What? If you hit your child, or if you decide I'm gonna put this kid in front of and play, and they get a hold of that,
they put you in jail.
Guess what? You're going down. So the only thing you could say to your child is, listen. And I got a solution for that, too. Listen, if you don't listen to me, then I'm giving you up, period.
Yeah, put them in the home.
Okay. If you don't listen to me, I'll sign my rights over as a parent. And then your rights over, don't you know you're still responsible for that child? How about that?
Yep.
Exactly. But look at what you're saying, okay? And I'm going to say something to you. And this is me and you. I'm going to... when I'm going to say something to you and you will recognize what I'm saying to you, but I'm not going to be specific over the air. But I'm saying this. This, again, going back to suggestion, that that's what you said, and this is suggestion that, you have no rights and you're going to be put in jail or whatever. Now, certain things have happened, and then that was tested. That was tested. First thing, and some of us know exactly what it was, and then what happened. All that huffing and puffing and this and this and whatever, and then when somebody actually tried to do that, what happened? It was all that huffing and puffing. There was no follow-up behind that. No. You can't do this or whatever. No.
The thing is that you're absolutely right. But there's some kids. But there's some kids will try you. We're not talking about the kids that won't. That's huff and puff. You got some kids that will try you.
I'm talking about then the parent has to take control. We're worried about what the government is going to do and how they're going to step in, whatever. Then look, when the thing happened was, that's what they tried to do in the first damn place. Take them. Go for it. And then what you saw,
that's what you say.
And all that other
But
fear.
No, but that's true. That's one side of it. That's true. That's what you were saying. A lot of parents don't want their children to be taken away. It's not that easy of a decision children away. So, I understand. Let me just finish this. I finished my thought. Now, that might be easy for a parent, and it might not be easier for another. And most parents, they obviously didn't take that stand. Look what's happening in the school. The kids is like rebellious. It's like, listen, I can go to school and I can get my gender changed and I want and you can't coming to, you know, this meeting with the doctor and myself, you know, if I have a doctor's appointment, you can't be a part of it. What are they going to tell a doctor? Yo, you better tell my mother to come in whether I like it or not. Yeah, they do have a permission to let you in the appointment, but the kids could easily say, no, I don't want you. And this has been going on for like 20-something years.
Yeah, I know.
Where have the parents been at that point? This has been going on for a long time where at a certain age, before 18, that when your child have a doctor's appointment, that doctor has to ask the child. They want you, do they want the parent inside of that examining room? And the child can say yay or
no.
That's
yeah,
power
right.
to a kid. Okay, that is power to a kid. So
well,
and
you
it,
think,
it,
you know,
it transforms into other areas of the government or society. It just trickles down. Okay, so and when kids find out that they have this power, now it changes the dynamics of parent-child relationship. Unlike before,
but you know,
back in the day,
you think, if you think back, you know, when you were younger. At the age of 14 or 12, you can go to Planned Parenthood yourself and get on birth control. You don't need your parents' consent. All you had to do was make an appointment, show up, and they put you on birth control. Because when I was a kid, I had girls on birth control. Yeah, well, you probably didn't do it. That's probably why you don't remember that. You didn't do it. But I know that for
That's
a fact.
That's how I got
my had
time.
Younger girls on birth control.
What'd
you
say,
so
Nas?
Nas,
what you
I said that's how I got my condoms back in the day. But, we got to recognize, though, that there's a flip side to this coin, though. So the family services that show up at a house and they see a child who's got burn marks down the left side of his body other child hasn't eaten in 2 weeks. And the house is in a filthy state to where there's mold and dirt and everything everywhere. Like, there's a lot of that, too. So in order to address that, sometimes you're going to get it wrong when addressing something where it's just a child who is either exaggerating or lying on his parents, or the power dynamic between the parent and the child has gotten off when it's just not going right. Like, all of that matters. You know what I mean? So
And you want to be careful of, and that's what, see, we as a people got to be careful what we co-sign on. We have to understand that people utilize our energy, and it is very powerful. That's why they try to gain control over it. So if they keep us in certain states or whatever, or if we allow ourselves to be in certain states, focus on certain things, and then we co-sign on certain things, that energy, that united power will change things. This is what we're talking about. It's that same thing, how they use it, how it is used against us. We allow it to be used against us. We need to be intentional and have concentrate on where we're putting our energy and what we're focusing on and call things out. You know that the squeaky wheel gets the oil. If everybody's up on it, people are looking for us to roll over. They used to, just give them some time, they'll get over it, whatever. But if it starts with little things, people tell you some things or whatever, and you don't accept it, you go in and say, no, I don't accept that. And then you make people move and do what they're supposed to do. You call them out and you start making noise, and then you have other people doing it, and it continues to build. This is how you flip things around. If you sit around and play dead and don't do anything, you're going to get more of the same. Isn't that what they said insanity is? Doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. That is insanity. That's insane. You got to do something different. You're going to get the same thing. So, you know, we got to look at these things. These are sayings for a reason. You hear it for a reason. So we need to investigate and assess what it is that we're being confronted with. What is going on here? You got to stand up. Somebody got to stand up for something. Oh, my goodness. There is no hope or whatever. Oh, that's a sad world, and I don't want no parts of that. So I'm not co-signing on that. No way, no how.
Brother, can I add this real quick? And then we got to also add this. There's kids who you could give a cell phone to, and they can program Like a whole app. They can create a whole app. They're looking at their college, you know, in the next coming years, and they got all of the volunteer services they need. They got all of the extra curricular activities they need. Like, it's some phenomenal kids out here, too. It's not just all of them are, you know, brainwashed and crazy and all that. It's some kids out here that's doing some monumental stuff, and it's going to shift the world going forward because they're starting off at a place to where they know so much more than we did because we didn't have access to no internet. We'd be in a barbershop arguing over something. They can look up in 2 seconds and decide who's right. We'd be arguing in there for hours about something that all of us was wrong. But we didn't have access to enough information to find it.
Right.
I'm starting off in a whole different level.
Like that.
I'm still trying to figure out how to work it, so I already know where I stand with it. But, yeah, we have a genius here, so we got to mold that and shape it. We have to do that. We can't allow other people to do that for us. We have to find a way. Look, if they want to party, we find a way to do it, right? If we want to get that nice outfit or whatever, we may not have no money. We live in paycheck to paycheck, hand to mouth, but we want to find a way to do what we want to do. So we need to want to do that. That's all it is. And, yes, we are going to lose some along the way. Absolutely. You got some people, they ain't going to get it no kind of way, no matter how much you try to break it to them or whatever. We're going to lose a few. But let's try to mitigate that. You know what I'm saying? There are things that we can do, and we got to step up and start doing it.
Right. But getting rid of affirmative action is going to push a lot of these kids into HBCUs, too. So, there's sometimes where you take a loss, but that loss ends up being a positive in the long run.
Yeah.
So the next fight is going to be about us making sure these states give them the funding that they're supposed to get as opposed to the state schools, which normally get all the funding, and the HBCUs just out in the cold. So now we push for that funding since more of our kids are going to be pushed to them. So, you know, there's some good with the bad.
Well, Nas, you need to be on our next show. One of our shows that we're going to be talking about affirmative action and how it impacts on us. So, yeah, we'll be talking about that maybe next week on or one of the shows. So, yeah, that has something to do with that as well. Yeah. But,
and we're going to get your autograph, too, man.
Nice.
But I ain't never been that cool.
Oh my god. But back to the social media. There is solutions to this in the way you know, it's affecting us. And you know, like I tell my time, back in the, like, with, and I'm in agreement with what Nas said. And, you know, back in the day, we didn't have social media so we could make millions of dollars. You know, some children who are, before they graduate out of high school, they are millions.
Oh, make millions. Yeah,
okay.
Right. Absolutely, yeah.
Okay. So that's one of the positive effects, because you asked Max Avon, or you asked us, what was the positive effects? And that's one of the positive effects of the social media. Sometimes, you know, these kids, college, it's like before they even go into college, like college is a new college, or it's a new college. Like, they don't need college. They just going straight on making millions.
Right, yeah. Make
so
a life
on the
internet. Yeah.
Right, and there's a lot of people that, in general, adults, that's coming home from jail that didn't have anything going on before, and now YouTube sensation. Okay?
Right.
They never had a career before YouTube. And they are legitimate millionaires, or have made substantial amounts of money. So it do have some positive effects in terms of how we're using it and how we're viewing it.
Exactly. 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 So, yes, there's...
You know, it's a speech. One thing I want to say is a speech everybody should listen to by Eisenhower delivering to John F. Kennedy before he took office. He told Kennedy, he said, beware of the military-industrial complex because they run this country. That's big business and the military. And no one can defeat that. And everybody should check that out. He made that speech before he left office when he was turning things over to Kennedy because he tried to make changes in this country and he was stopped by the military. They wouldn't do it. And he was prevented by big business. They work hand in hand. You know what I mean? That's why the Vietnam War lasted all them years, fighting a war they knew they could not win. It's all about the money.
Well, big business has been stopped. Yeah, it's all about the money. The big, yeah, and you hit them in their pocket. Look what happened to Bud Light. Did y'all hear about Bud Light?
Oh, yeah, because they had the homosexual commercial.
Social media
is
talking
right,
about that.
Yeah.
It's about using a transgender to promote
right,
the beer.
Yeah.
People,
right,
I mean,
yeah.
Men went crazy.
But
okay?
you know what they'll
and,
do? They'll change the name of the product and pass it on to something else. That's all. They ain't going to lose no money. They might have lost money initially, but big business is smart. If you know it's a Bud Light, they'll change it to something else, some new beer, and people be buying that. So, you know, you only heard them once. And they always come
but
back.
But they still lose money because now they have to put in marketing with a different product and stuff. But they do change it, the action, because they took the ad down. Nas, have you heard about it? About the Bud Light?
I've seen it.
It's still out there. I get the point on that, but sometimes we got to remember how old we are, though. And that's another aspect of this. So Anheuser-Busch and all these companies, they have the data, man. They know what young folk, the 18 to 24, think about the world. And that's who they focused on selling to, because that's who they're going to be buying their product for next generation.
Right.
So
Absolutely.
If the older folks get mad about it and boycott, they'll take the hit for now because they know they're going to make that bread later on. And just think about it like this. I watched the Super Bowl a couple years ago, and Eminem and Dre and 50 and all them was up there. And I was like, man, that's crazy. I can't believe we got hip-hop at the Super Bowl. And I was like, wait a minute. Super Bowl halftime is for old people. Oh, I'm old now. Wow, the game just flipped. Demographics, that's what we're talking about. Things change.
Exactly. So what they did was they tested it, and they got a lot of pushback, so they had to back down on it. But see, that's what it is. This is how you can affect change. Yeah, and the bottom line is money. If this is a capitalist society, so it's about making the money. So the thing is, they don't care how it gets done now. They're willing to change if you come up with another way for it to happen, as long as they get the money. They'll adjust to what it is, so we're not totally helpless. But you gotta put up something. You know what I'm saying? You gotta say something. You gotta make a noise, you know. And then who knows? By that time, you shut it down now, get it now. Then we get a hold of our children and talk to them, and then help guide them to see a bigger picture, or whatever, so that you can prevent and sidestep a lot of that stuff. But we ain't even trying. We just gave up. So we got to get back in there. You got to talk to the kids. They're really smart. And they're intelligent. They don't mind talking to you. If you want to talk to them with some respect and with some sense, you know, you come correct like you come to anybody else. Look, they are younger than you now, but they're going to get to your age at some point. God willing, they'll get there. You know what I'm saying? So you want to show them they're open to wisdom. They're open to listening, whatever. But nobody's doing it. Everybody's afraid, running away. Oh, well, the way they are now, I don't want to get involved because they have no regard for life. There are some that are out of control. But a lot of it, they want some control. They want some guidance. They want you to step up. They're looking at us because we dropped the ball. So they're saying they're upset. They're mad. If somebody do something to you and get on your nerves and let you down, you're going to feel a way about it. Absolutely. But the grown people thing to do is to acknowledge it, accept, you know, what you did and take accountability, and then move to make some corrections. You got to make a change. You got to step up to it.
Right.
Yeah, it's not easy. It's uncomfortable at first, but you gotta make a move. You gotta make the first step. And people, a lot of times, and then you know that we may have done things. You know, somebody stepped on our toes, and then we give them the silent treatment or push back at them. But we're waiting for them to step up and prove to me, to talk about us individually, that our feelings matter. That's what we want, to know that we mean something out here. Our thoughts matter, our feelings matter, our desires, what we want, it matters. And that's what most people want. And if you can do that and show that it is so, then people are willing to listen to you. They're open to, but no, everybody's afraid to try now. You got to do something. You got to do something different. You got to do something different. Don't get caught up in the suggestion that, oh, there's nothing that we can do. You get caught up in that, you co-sign on that, then that's what it will be. So watch what you're co-signing, watch your mouth, watch what you're thinking, watch what you say, and let's do something different.
That's Abdul's thinking. He said,
with the government, you can't do anything. With kids, you can try to reach and find their interests. That's what you have to do with children. You got to find, don't try to put something in their head. Try to find what they have in their head, what interests them, and then try to expand on that. You know, if it's wrong, then you got to lead them another way. Be a guide for them. Don't be a teacher to them. Kids don't like to be dictated to. See, that's the problem with some parents, because I had parents like that.
Sometimes
you got to do it in a slick way. Do it in a slick way like you're going along with them, even though you're making suggestions to them. You know, but you got to find out what their interests are and expand on that. That's the way you got to go. You can't just come off, well, this is what I want you to do. I think you should do this.
Right.
You know, no, you can't do that. Kids don't listen to stuff like that. You know, kids rebel, and it's just natural for them to rebel. So try to reach them another way. You know, like find out what interests they have and then go along with them to see where it goes. You know, because these kids are, some of these kids are monsters. You know, I mean, I don't even know how to put it in words. Some of them have a already corrupt mind. You know, and some kids, and you know, I know for a fact I was a violent kid. So some kids are born that way. It's just natural for them to be a certain way, and the parents can't understand them. The parents are not really trying to understand them. The parents just want to tell them what to do and expect them to do it. The kids today, you can't do that with. You got to reach them. You know, when I was a kid, my parents was told by other people in the neighborhood that they should stop trying to tell Junior what to do because reach him another way. We talk to him all the time. He listens. He don't listen to you because you come at him with demands. You know, so that's the way parents got to come today. Use psychology on the kid, you know, and use his thoughts against himself or herself. You know, reach them, the person. You know, you got to reach their mind,
even with
their mindset.
Backing social media as well, those factors will work.
Keep off that stuff. Yeah, keep social media away from them kids. That's what got them all messed up. You know, that's got them all controlled, all conditioned, and all minds all twisted all kinds of ways. They get on there and they look at sexual stuff. You know, they look at homosexual stuff. You know, because this is what they're being fed. They're being fed this stuff in school, and then they go look at it on their own, and they think, okay, that's okay. If these kids are doing it, I could do that too. You know, and they got everything. The school system is all messed up. The public is all messed up, and the government is behind. They're the ones behind the whole thing. It's to control the public. If they can control you when you're a child, they control you as an adult. You know, get you when you're young. And that's what they're doing.
What is it? There's the dilemmas parents are going through is that children have outside influences and the pressures many parents feel because other kids have iPhones, iPads, gadgets, and then, you know, the competition out there. How do you combat that?
You know, you got to tell your kids to ignore that stuff. You don't have to see. That's what following is all about. They're following trends. You know, they see kids with the gear on, and they want the gear. They're only doing what somebody else is doing. They're followers, and they ain't thinking about leading their own way, being different. You know, I always wanted to be different.
Exactly.
I don't want to be like anybody else.
Abdul, most people are following. I think that we all been through a stage think we have been through that.
Well,
yeah. that's every generation. So think about when you got your first pair of Jordans or whatever shirt was hot at the time, and you came to school with that on. The acceptance that you got for that was important to you as a kid, man. But they just got different pressures than what we had. That's all it is. So, back in the day, if you got in a fight and you got beat up, that was just an L you had to take, and after a couple of weeks of getting clowned, that was over with. They got a video of you getting beat up, and it's shared in all the schools, and that's a whole other L you got to take. Like, they just got different pressures than what we had. But no matter what, they not as violent as the 90s, I tell you that. Like, as bad as it is, they not as violent as you was back then.
Yeah.
You saw some stuff.
Well, see, I'm a product of the 60s, so, that was the most violent time for me, and I was all a part of that, gangs and guns and stuff, but it was control. It was control. Like today, these kids are getting to a fight. It could be 10 kids beating up one kid, everybody's filming it, just like you said. They're filming it. Instead of them stopping it or interfering with it, they're filming it, and then they're showing it on social media.
But that's
the big thing.
Trolling.
Yeah,
that's their way of saying I have control over, what I film. I have control over it. I have control. That's the way, like Nas was saying, that's one way of, what they're doing in this era. Like, our era was crack, cocaine, dope.
Right.
Now, their era is surviving homosexuality.
Right, I know.
Social media, it's different. You get them?
Yeah.
So that's their era. That's what their challenges are.
Yeah. Their era now is they can get high and be gay too.
Exactly.
We live in a very sick society. Yeah. And you see,
the thing is, back then, if you look at it,
but it's worse now. It's worse now. Because, we friends of mine, we talk about this, how people just complain about the gangs. The gangs control the neighborhood. They prevented bad people from coming in there. But today, you got drug gangs everywhere. You know what I mean? All they want to do is take money from people and sell people drugs. They want people on drugs. The females prostituting their bodies, and even the males prostituting their bodies, too. And they try to get them from childhood age. You meet Mr. Crip down the street, he got something good for you if you sell this for him and stuff like that. You know what I mean? They're corrupting the morals of the minors in this country. And, of course, it's big business behind it because they make millions and billions of dollars from drug sales. Drugs fuel all the economy in this country. They buy the luxury homes, the cars, the boats, the trains, and they buy everything. Drug money is good money because all the businesses are looking for that drug money. One time I went to a Mercedes dealer to pick up a part for a friend of mine. Nobody came to me, but the guys that walked in the door with the chains and the gold chains and all that kind of crap down, they run to them. They know I was
That's what every generation, I think, that's us.
Yeah.
Well, Avon, do you have any more questions? I have just one question. Do you have any questions or?
Other than what you all think on it, but what you all were talking about and had mentioned before, all the safeguards and standards and morality has been pushed to the side and we let that go. So it's like everything goes and a lot of things gets through and gets by us subliminally. So we're going to have to put those safeguards back in place. We're going to have to do it because, what we have going on here is not good. And you have to be careful. You want to control the narrative of what's going on because, as we said, going back to the dark side of it and its impact on mental health, if you got subliminal messages coming at you and you don't realize it, it slips right into your subconscious mind, you're going to start acting out things that you don't even realize that you're doing. So, we have to go back and be careful of that, mindful of that, and those that do know, we're going to have to help those that don't or got caught up in things like that. But we're going to have to stand up there and get in that gap to get us back on track. And nobody else is going to do it. It's those that know that we're going to have to do it and start it. And then once you start it, then others will join in. You know, everybody talks about they want to be the leader and want to be different, but then you come find out everybody is doing the same daggone thing, and they're not that different. So those that have that leading qualities, whatever, just got to step up and do it. And then, like you said, since the role models, whatever, then, yes, Ed Jakari, Abdul is, yes, to draw from within and pull it out. That's what you're talking about, seeing what the student already knows, and then you bring that out and build upon that. We got that.
Right.
So now we're going to have to step in and help that. Because, and then the other ways of doing that, yeah, like you said, oh, there are slick ways of doing things? Oh, absolutely. When Angela and I talk about it all the time, when you be about your life and do things and live your life, people are watching you. People are always watching you because they can tell you what it is that you're doing, and you don't even realize that they're watching you. So the thing is, live the life. Show them how to do the things. They talk about they want to be different, so show them what that looks like. A lot of people don't know, so they're left to use their own imagination, which has not been exercised properly, so they really don't know what to do. So be an example. Just be an example. Show it. Show them what it looks like. How not to be fearful. How to be a leader. You got to do it. You got to model that information, because a lot of times we tell people, but they don't understand or they can't picture what that looks like. How does that look so that they can go carry out what it is that you're suggesting? So this is a multi-level thing that we have to, you know, approach to get the desired result that we want, because we have been hit from every different way on many different levels and different approaches. So that's what it's going to take to undo that. The thing is, if you see what a problem is, how you got to a place, then you do the reverse to come out of it. This is logic, you know.
Right.
So can't get caught up in emotions. We gotta get away and get out of being caught up in our emotions, because that's where we shut down. That's how we get got every single time. Either we're mad or we're afraid. And when we are in those states, we cannot function. We shut down. So we gotta come out and do something else. We gotta do something different.
That's
so
a word right there.
That's my thoughts on that. So I don't know what you guys think about that.
I think you're right, but it's a lot that has to be done. I mean, it has to be done, start at home first, because schools now are not for kids no more. When they teaching homosexuality in school, there's something wrong with that picture. No. So, you know,
that's
schools
the main
ain't
lesson.
The place. Yeah, I know, right, and that's the problem right there. It's the schools now. You know, homosexuality is okay.
Well, I would say
it's
sexuality.
Okay,
I would say sexuality,
yeah.
That's what they teaching in a nutshell of all of that. It's
well,
just
it
sexuality,
is homosexuality.
And I think
it's
too much. And,
yeah.
Right.
Sexuality is taught on the basis of normalcy. This stuff is homosexuality because this is abnormal stuff. Telling you that little Johnny can be with little Billy and little Mary can be with little Suey. You know? So, that stuff got to go. And the thing is, the government just let the schools do it because the government dictated to the schools that, hey, this is the agenda now. You know, the public and the parents got nothing to say.
Let me take the last couple of minutes and ask y'all something real quick, right? Now, we were talking about the younger and the older generation, right? But I'm seeing this with both generations.
Mm-hmm.
How does social media influence society's perception of beauty and body image? Right? And have y'all noticed any negative impacts on self-esteem and body confidence? Like, say, for instance, people going to get BBLs. I know women that's 50s, and they 50s, and they get BBLs. I can't even imagine it. Or what about deadly cosmetic surgeries? You got young girls that's going under the knife to lose weight, like, with no kids, or they don't have no kids. Like, how are you young and you don't have no kids and you need to go to get a surgery
right.
to lose weight?
Too
like,
late.
What was you doing?
Yeah. Too late to lose weight.
So the deadly cosmetic surgery. So
How do y'all, what's y'all feelings on that? And have y'all noticed it around people around y'all, or have y'all noticed it overall?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, that's definitely a problem. I don't know how, like, a 13-year-old girl who takes a selfie and then has to try to filter and filter and filter to get it to where how she wants to look. Yeah, I don't know how they deal with that, man. That's preying on people's insecurity, and that's going to be a big problem, because the other side of it is they see that big bag on the other end of the rainbow if they know they get the IG look right. So, so that's a tough one, man. I don't know how young girls are going to handle that one.
Yeah,
and you know what? It's not even attractive. I mean, come on, you got this woman with some big gigantic ass. I said, that ain't even real. How can she walk around like that, knowing that what she got back there ain't real? You know, how can you do that to yourself? You know, you
got,
she
got a million followers and she cashing out on it.
Oh.
So I mean, that's, you know what I mean?
Right, and men, Abdul, not saying you or not, but men are attractive. You got women at 50 that's saying, wow, if I can get me a big butt, maybe I can add some value on myself. You know what I'm saying? So I need to go under the knife, get BBL. Maybe I can get big boobs. I can add value.
Yeah.
You know, I'm 15,
right.
60, but maybe, you know, that big, that butt and that, you know, that breast and that facelift may can, you know, extend me some years and get some, you know, like a boost. I mean, like Nas said, get the bag. I can get the bag.
Yeah.
So these are the issues. Then you have those young girls, 18, 19. Yo, I gotta lose weight. I'm obese, and you know, I need a good body. You know, I can get the bag. You know what they call it? My son, he's 13, and his brother is 15, and they call it thick slim.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, I show them pictures of slim thick. You know, I show them images of, you know, and I ask them these questions about social media and what it does and all of that. And they say, well, the boys like it and the girls, they want to get it done. There's nothing wrong with it. So their perception is different than what we would think, you know. So here it is, you know, they might see a woman that's clearly obese and they call it slim thick, meaning that the waist is slim, but they butt, you know, they got humongous butts.
Right,
Even if they have, like, fat, chubby arms, you know, they consider them that, oh, that's slim thick. We could work with that. And even, you know, they became so steady, has put in their head to accept this, and it's clearly obesity. You understand? It's like clearly obese, you know, or being overweight. They don't have no concept of that, of the body, of what really is healthy in terms of healthy body.
Right, right, absolutely, yeah. Because that's stroke, heart attack, all kinds of physical and psychological problems being obese, you know, and they're trying to push that on people with that Lizzo character, you know, that it's okay to be big and fat like that. You know what I mean? Because she working with it.
But you know what? But
she making money.
But you know what? We can go on too with this for on and on, but we got to start wrapping it up now. I want to say again tonight, everybody, the show was called The Dark Side of Social Media, Unveiling Its Impact on Mental Health and Society. And we had a nice, robust conversation on this tonight. I want to thank our callers for calling in. Abdul and Mr. Nasir called in, and we appreciate your feedback and the conversation that we had going back and forth. I sincerely hope that you will continue to tune in and spread the word with other people, but we want to hear your thoughts again. We're going to have some more interesting topics, and, you know, we would love to have that feedback. So I want to say, again, thank you to you both for joining us this evening. I want to thank my co-host for doing a wonderful job this evening and help keep the conversation very lively. So I want to say thank you to you, Angela, and you want to wrap up and say the final words and let people know how to get in touch with us and your final thoughts.
Yeah, just our final thoughts. First, I want to go to the lines again. Nas, do you have any final thoughts on this subject, the doc media?
No, I think y'all hit everything. It was good talking to y'all. Appreciate it. Y'all letting me on. It was a good conversation. And I'll catch y'all in the future.
Okay, thank you. And thank you for participating. We really enjoyed your conversation. Lou, your last quick on the dark side of social media?
I want to say I appreciate your brother coming on and speaking his mind. You know what I mean? Because we need more people like that to speak up and to speak out against these issues here.
Right.
And, I just hope, you know, we'll see each other, talk to each other all of 2 weeks from now.
Okay. Well, in touch with us, please. We would like you to continue joining us and joining our growing community. Be connected and follow us on Instagram and Twitter. Conversations with AA. Join our discussions and become part of our growing community. Probably 2 weeks. We may be on YouTube platform, but keep checking in. That's why it's important to stay connected to us. Once again, on Instagram and Twitter at Conversations with AA. Join our platform. While we discuss this, you know, the negative dark side of social media, that's not to encourage people to engage in social media, but we're asking people to educate themselves and just be practical about the consumption of it, okay, and how we ourselves can contribute a more positive online environment in addition to all the darkness that social media brings. So if as individuals, as well as we can, you know, solicit hope, solutions to navigate in this, we can make a positive change, or we can help be a positive change by conversations open and being mindful of that social media. And also explaining it to our daughter going to college, you know, and I explained the effects that social media can have, not only on her right now, but also for her future. So these are the conversations that we should promote: online kindness and building supportive communities, and, you know, just a healthier digital space for ourselves and our children and our community. So let's be mindful of everything that we do. Start spreading awareness of how we foster in, like, a loving, caring environment and how social media could definitely be positive to us. So we hope tonight's discussion shed light on the various aspects of social media, and we hope that we stimulated your thoughts and take account of everything that could go on, that would go on, and that the solutions possible that you can be a part of, okay? Because social media doesn't have to, you don't have to completely shun it. Just mindful of it and how, and also remember that it could be a powerful tool when used wisely. Once again, it could be a powerful tool when used wisely. Okay, so with that said, once again, I want everyone to stay tuned, stay informed, stay safe, and make the most out of your social media experiences. Once again, I'm Angela, I'm your co-host, and thank you, Avon, thank you, Nas, and thank you for tuning in to us, and we hope that you guys will put up with other shows, and once again, we appreciate it. Thanks.
Again,
good night.
Thank you, everyone, and good night.
So long.
Good night.